You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, join the Cleveland Browns First and Ten movement and help your community. We're collecting new and unwrapped toys along with cash donations for children in need through the Cleveland Browns Toy Drive before the Browns 49ers game on Sunday, December the 13th. In partnership with the Marines and the Toys for Tots, volunteers will be collecting toys and cash donations at the gates of First Energy Stadium from 11 a.m. through kickoff. Help children in need this holiday season by donating on Sunday, December the 13th. We go now to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline, and we bring in the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. And Jim, all right, I'm putting you in Jimmy Haslam's shoes. Are you doing anything right now after what you saw yesterday at First Energy Stadium?
Oh, I'll tell you what, Nathan, I think immediately after the game I would have. I think if you sit down and you evaluate what's going on and where you are at this point in the season with four games left, I really don't know with what you have in front of you what you could do right now that could change any course of where we are or where we're going to go for the last four games. So if I'm doing anything, I think I'm basically really seeking some help and some advice and some information from around the entire landscape of football, NFL, college, whatever, past NFL, whatever. And I'm trying to get some answers as to where we went wrong and how do we get out of it. And at what point, you know, once it's time to make bold decisions, that you're ready to make those and that you're not going to be beaten out by other people who are in the same position with you that have to make those same kind of decisions. Because at that point, it becomes a very competitive situation to try and find the right people.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Jim, Austin Davis got his first start with the Cleveland Browns. Just your overall take on him and the rumors and the validity of the rumors that Johnny Manziel most likely is going to probably be given the football and start the last four games of the football season, and your perspective on that as well.
Well, I'll tell you, Matt, I mean, I thought he went in there, and I thought that he did a credible job. I mean, I think at very early on in the game, not that he had a lot of weapons to go to, you know, at the beginning of the game when everybody was still out there and healthy, but as it started to subtract and you started to lose people, Marlon Moore and Benjamin, and Barnage gets dinged but comes back. And, you know, all of the things that were happening, I mean, I really looked at him, and he was a man alone back there because there was nowhere to go with what he had. I mean, he had precious few. He was at the minimum, it seemed, of receivers and what they were going to be able to do in the game. And so suddenly, you know, he's relying on Darius Jennings, who I thought did a very, very nice job. But then again, I like Jennings in the preseason, but he did a very good job in his first game active. They got a lot out of Brian Hartline yesterday, but, I mean, at that point in the game and for a big chunk of the game, that's all he had. So, I mean, he was as restricted as I have seen a quarterback be in a long, long time. I mean, you can say receivers have good days or bad days, but if they just have no day because they're not there, you got a real problem. And the fact that the Browns don't run the ball and can't run the ball, whatever the reasons are, I think that then he was just as limited as I have ever seen a quarterback in a long time.
Jim, we were running some numbers. The Browns have given up more than 30 points now in five straight games. They are losing since their last victory by an average of 17 points per game. What is the biggest problem as you see it with this team?
Well, defensively, Nathan, it just doesn't seem like they do anything well. I mean, they don't stop the run, and I know that was a main objective coming into the season, and certainly with the drafting of Danny Shelton and some of the other people that they brought in. I mean, that was goal number one, was to quiet that down, and they haven't done that at all. I think teams still realize that they can run on them at any point and with great success for whatever they need. And then I think that there's no pass rush, and it's a secondary right now that is just, it hasn't really been at 100% many times this year, but certainly not right now, and it doesn't look like it's going to be for the remainder of the season. So, I mean, you take a look at those areas, and there's just nothing that they do well right now. I don't think that there's anything that they can rest on that they can say defensively they can control any part of another team's offense, passing, running. It's just not there right now. Then I think, really, as the season has gone on and the losing streak has mounted up and the losses are mounting up, you're just starting to see a breakdown in total fundamentals, and it seems to be even more so inside the player, a breakdown in spirit, that they know they can't stop anybody, that they know it's not working. And suddenly now you're going to try and bring down really competitive people on the other side of the football, and you're trying to do that with arm tackling and guessing and ad-libbing, and it's just a, you know, it's a cataclysmic thing that just blows up on them. But I think the basic thing is that there's not one area of defense that they can lean on and say, we really do this well.
Yep.
It's hard to find.
It definitely is, Jim. And as you look at the games ahead, home against San Francisco, then you go to two teams that right now are probably some of the hottest teams in football, at Seattle, at Kansas City, and of course Pittsburgh vying to stay in contention for the playoffs. How difficult, while everyone's, you know, chomping at the bit to see Johnny Manziel, who could potentially be named the starter for the Cleveland Browns, you know, probably in about an hour and a half by Mike Pettine around 3:30 when he hits the media desk. But how hard will it truly be to evaluate Johnny Manziel with the weapons around him, with the offensive line that we've discussed, no run game, against teams like Seattle, Kansas City, and Pittsburgh?
Big problem, Matt. I mean, you're going to get teams that are really going to come in here, and they're going to need wins, or wherever we play them, in Seattle, Pittsburgh here, and at Kansas City. And let's be honest, San Francisco obviously played with a lot of heart yesterday to go in and win at Soldier Field in Chicago. It's a big problem. It's just like what I described for Austin Davis yesterday. It's really hard to give him a complete grade or a fair grade on how he played yesterday, other than to give him an A for effort. But because it's just such a, it's such an empty closet in the way of offensive scheme right now, and it's so one-dimensional. I mean, I would imagine that what Manziel will do is what he is, and, you know, he'll ad-lib a lot of things, and I think he'll run around, and he'll have to get out of the pocket. I mean, he's going to be able to walk over to the sideline and say, hey, listen, you want me to stay in the pocket? I could get killed in there right now. I got to get out of the pocket. So I would think that it's difficult to truly, you know, gauge what he can do. I guess the things that you look for, the intangibles, the leadership factor, the preparedness of a game for him, you know, to get ready for a game and absorb the game plan and try and execute it. But then it's just those, I would imagine, those abilities to make a crisp decision, you know, in an instant and try and make something good out of something that looks very bad at the outset of the play. Now, I think he has certain skills to be able to do that, and it will be good. I think the thing is here is that, you know, if everything happens the way we expect it to happen, we'll see him 4 weeks in a row. It's just been so, you know, chopped up because of what's gone on with him off the field and because of other situations on the field. But at least we'll see it week to week. We just haven't been able to see that to any kind of length of period of time because of the situation. At least we'll have that answer. And I think we just have to let it play out and see what he's like.
Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, obviously, with Johnny being back, that gives you something to look forward to over the final four games. What are the positives, if any? We were Jennings earlier, Darius Jennings, I'm sorry, or the number one draft pick. What are the positives right now for this team and for this organization?
Well, I think, Nathan, you have to pause and you have to really, it should be right on the tip of your tongue, but right now they're really not there right now. So, I mean, I think that, you know, for the fans, I would take a look at this, and I think a lot of them want to see Manziel play, okay? And I do believe a lot of them probably agreed with the situation, the way Mike Pettine described it, and the punishment he handed down, and how that's not going to be tolerated. And I think a lot of people say, yeah, you know, I get it. But I think down deep, a lot of people want to see him play. And especially now at 2-10, and with two of the four games being at home, I think people, if they're going to go down there, let's face it, he's the reason they're going to go down there. There's a fascination with him and how he's going to play. And to be able to say, you know, I went to the game and I saw him play against San Francisco, or I saw him play well against the Steelers, hopefully at the end of the year. I really believe if that's what you're going down there for, and if that really, you know, is your excitement level, then good for you, and I'm glad that he's going to play for that reason. Now, on the other side, I hope, you know, he plays well and that we continue to see the improvement, although it's hard to remember it now because, as I said, it's been stalled for the last couple of weeks. But if we continue to see the improvement like we saw from Cincinnati to Pittsburgh And then, of course, we had the bye week, and then the problem off the field down in Austin, Texas. I mean, I would hope that we would see that continue, that his arrow continues to point up and that he does something this Sunday and he does it a little bit better the next Sunday in Seattle. And he'll obviously be facing some really good competition, so it will be interesting to see how he plays. Other than that, I mean, I think that you just hope that the effort level is a little bit better than it was, a lot better, actually, than it was, you know, in the second half of that game yesterday. Because to me, guys, I have to be honest with you, and I hate to get historic with you, but it had the looks of a 1999 game yesterday in the second half when the Browns were, you know, futilely going up against the Bengals, and there was no hope, and the stadium emptied out, and it was just the visiting team's fans down in the lower bowl. That happened a lot in 1999, but there was an excuse for that, because they were a true expansion team.
Right.
We should be much farther down the road, you know, right now.
Ugh, very frustrating. Jim, before I let you go, one other thing, and this is, again, just a pregame question that kind of came up, and I just want your perspective on, were you surprised at all that Terrell Pryor, after being signed, you know, on Tuesday, come in on Wednesday, got 3 days of practice, as a shot in the dark, as an opportunity to maybe create a big play at some point, and obviously as the game played out, you would have loved to have another receiver up, was inactive going into yesterday's football game?
I really was. I was surprised, and to be honest with you, I'm really surprised about Dwayne Bowe, too. And I think that there needs to be a little bit of an explanation about that. Maybe that's coming up at 3:30, but I think that there needs to be an explanation as to, you know, why would they not be active? Especially Bowe, who, of course, has been with them all year. But, you know, the thing is, Matt, I mean, Pryor was with him the entire training camp.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't seem, to me, it doesn't seem like this offense is that complicated right now. I'm not saying they're drawing it up in the dirt, you know, a la Bernie Kosar, you know, calling audibles all the time. But, I mean, it just seems to me that when you look at the situation and you know going in that Hawkins and Gabriel aren't going to be able to go, that you've got options like that. I think that, you know, I would have liked to have believed that those two guys might have been able to go on the field and, you know, participate and chip in and help out a little bit more. And I'm not trying to take any playing time away from Darius Jennings, and I'm sure he did a good job in battling every week to get up onto the active roster. But, I mean, numbers are what they are. I mean, Dwayne Bowe's payroll, you know, hit is really pretty big. I mean, he should be out there contributing. So yeah, I was floored by it. But then when I saw these guys going out injured, and I saw what was left, I mean, I shook my head even more. And you know, I said it on the broadcast. It's almost like when you put the player out in right field and you say the ball will never go out to him, but it goes out to him right away. So you don't dress wide receivers, and then you get wide receivers. They get hurt in the game. It seems like it always happens that way.
Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And Jim, you know, in light of that, with Dwayne Bowe, for example, why is he still here then? If he can't play
right
on a day when Marlon Moore is your third receiver and Darius Jennings is your fourth,
right,
why is he here?
You know, Nathan, I don't know. And that's what I mean. I mean, I like, and maybe a lot of Browns fans do this, but I certainly do it in getting ready for the game. I'm always interested in what those coordinators say on Thursday when they meet with the media, and I have to tell you, week by week by week by week, and now going a lot of weeks, you know, I listen to John DeFilippo always say, hey, listen, at some point this year, we're going to need Dwayne Bowe. I don't think they needed him any more than they needed him yesterday, and he still doesn't dress, and it's a healthy scratch. I just believe there needs to be some kind of an explanation to let us in on what really is going on and why he isn't out there, and why he's a healthy scratch. You know, if it was an injury, I would understand it. But it doesn't seem to be an injury. It just seems to be something that's going on that isn't clicking between Bowe and practice and the coaching staff or whatever. But for the football team on Sunday, especially yesterday, they really could have used a body like Dwayne Bowe to be out there playing. And that's a good point. I mean, if he can't play, then why would he be there?
Do you think anything happens this week with the coaching staff or general manager?
I don't. I really don't. I think that I think we're going to play the hand out to the rest of the season, and then I think there'll be some very hard evaluations that will be made at that time, and they're certainly, you know, not leaning in a good direction because of all the losing. I don't think so. I scratch my head and I say, what would they do? What would the next option be for them? And I can't come up with a definitive answer that would make it any better and get you to the finish line in 4 weeks. So I don't think so, but, you know, it's the week is early, as we say.
Given everything that's happened on the defensive side of the ball, do you think over the final four games, Mike Pettine will take ownership of that side of the ball away from Jim O'Neill with this defense struggling at almost historic levels for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, you know, Nathan, I was puzzled why that wasn't done anyway. You know, in a perfect juncture of the season when the bye week comes, because that's what you do in a bye week. You self-evaluate, you take a look at things, and you make some changes. I've read where Jimmy Haslam challenged Mike Pettine and the entire coaching staff to do some soul searching and see if you could do something different. Well, the most obvious thing would have been, hey, let's play better defense. Okay, well, how do we do that? Well, if this is really your system, and I'm saying the possessor being that of Mike Pettine, then I just think, you know, considering, you know, where we were at that point, and certainly where we are now, yes, I would have taken it over, but I would have taken it over a long time ago, I think.
I agree with you, Jim. And by the way, some positive news. Ian Rapoport reporting that Travis Benjamin, who injured his shoulder, has checked out okay and is unlikely to miss time. So we should at least have Travis.
That would help.
Thank you, Ian.
All right, Jim, thank you so much. Forward to seeing you out here later today for Mike Pettine's press conference around 3:30.
Always good talking to you guys.
Always a pleasure. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, who is unbelievable at what he does, because yesterday's game was not entertaining, and he had to paint the pictures verbally and still made that an entertaining broadcast that I got to be the good fortune of being a part of with him. He is very, very good at that. All right, when we come back, let's hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. Hear what he had to say after the Browns were beaten 37-3 by the Cincinnati Bengals.